Welcome back to season two of Snubs and Dubs, where we're talking about the snubs and dubs of the 87th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobiasen, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, how you doing today?
Oily. I'm very oily, because I just came from a massage, so my body is slicked up. Feel like I just went down a slip and slide of goo.
Nice.
But a relaxing one that stretched my muscles in a way that felt good. How about you, Kyle? How you doing?
God, it's been a chaotic, like, last hour.
Yeah.
I was just telling you about how I was going to make a digital catalog of all of my grandfather's books that he is trying to downsize. And I think that's maybe where I get my collecting gene from. Mm. He was the books, I got the movies. So
yeah.
That might be just generational affliction.
I guess so, yeah. Well, I think you would win because a picture is worth 1,000 words and a picture is like just one still from a movie. So you have trillions of words on this wall.
Yeah.
And he only has like a couple mil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Embarrassing.
Get dunked on, Poppy.
Yeah. You got the math to back that one.
Yeah. But then I came back super late and frantic and I felt like in just a state of chaos. But we're trying out some new pop filters.
Oh,
I got like, it's kind of weird because I'm looking just above the pop filter now and I can just see your eyes.
I can't see your mouth or face at all. What a nice change.
So hopefully there's less peas popping and teas
totten.
Sure.
Yes. Teas, they famously tot.
Well, we'll see how it goes. But did you see anything else this week?
No, nothing this week. Blank slate. How about you?
The only thing that I watched was Molly and I went to this anime quote film. It was for the anime Fruit Basket, and it was like a prequel movie.
For the what now, sorry?
Yeah, Fruit Basket is an anime based on a manga.
Oh, okay.
And I guess from what I gather, they did an anime version of it before, but then they remade it again. Mm. And so now the new anime is like better, and this is a prequel to that anime series that also takes from the manga.
Wow.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Okay.
I've seen a couple anime movies at this point.
You're becoming an aficionado. Yeah.
Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, uh-huh. I hadn't seen the anime yet, and it was fine. I can watch it. I probably would have gotten a better appreciation if I had seen the anime, and we are going through the anime right now, and it's good. But this one was not that. It was not like an accessible, and I say, quote, movie, because really, it's 45 minutes of like a clips show of the anime.
What?
That's not even like a, hey, in case you missed it. It's like just select scenes from the anime that I guess are relevant to the actual quote movie, which is not a movie. It's like a hour long episode of the anime.
What?
That was really strange and involved a 22-year-old teacher and a, I guess, 13 to 14-year-old girl.
Oh, no.
And their love story.
Oh, no.
It was very strange. And honestly, the weirdest theater experience I've ever had, because not only was the movie strange, but we booked tickets for the Japanese with English subtitles. But they were playing the Japanese with English subtitles and the English version at the same time in different theaters, both at 4 p.m. And so we go to the theater that the, you know, minimum wage theater attendant sent us to, and it's in English. And the first clue we should have got was that somebody was in our seats. And we didn't want to say anything because it wasn't like a packed theater.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, so we were like still in the back row anyways. And so we just kind of dealt with it. And then they started speaking English and we were like, okay, what the fuck? Like, we've been sitting here for 15 minutes and now it's in English. What do we do? Do we go to try to find the other theater? Did I make a mistake? Did I book the wrong tickets? And so I'm like casually trying to check my phone. No, I didn't. But then I look and there's also the English version playing the same exact time, which is strange.
That is
as
strange.
The Japanese version. And so I'm looking at Molly. I'm like, do you want to go? Do you want to try and get to into the theater that we're supposed to get into? And she's just like, no, like, we're kind of sat here now. Like, we're comfortable. Yeah. You know, we're committed at this point. So whatever. The worst part of this, though, was that about like maybe 30 minutes into the movie, I start hearing like weird action type noises and it sounds like it's coming from within the theater.
Oh,
and
no.
So suddenly I think that some guy has brought like their iPad kid into the movie and they're watching or playing games on their iPad during the movie.
Yeah.
And so I'm like looking around and like I can't see anything because we're in the South Cinema, which have like bigger seats and it's harder to look over. But like, I keep still hearing these like noises. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm looking at Molly and I'm like, what is going on? I come to realize that the theater next to us is playing Jurassic World Dominion. It's not that the walls are too thin. It's that I think the vents are connected.
Oh, so you're just getting vented in some good Jurassic sound.
And because they're overhead vents, it's giving this weird like Dolby Atmos like feel where the noise is in the theater. And it's like, it feels like it's coming from the movie, but also not. Yeah. And so occasionally they would be having these weird, you know, emotional conversations with about how a man is grooming this, you know, 13-year-old. But there will be like Jurassic Park noises in the background. And then you get like,
I'm Chris Pratt on the Velociraptor.
Yeah, exactly. So it was very strange. But
that is bizarre. Yeah. Out of 10, whole experience, how would you rate it?
Oh, God. I couldn't. I didn't even like rate it on Letterboxd. I was like, I can't rate this.
So much happened outside of the movie's fault in the first place.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it was just a strange movie.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. I would not recommend it to people that haven't seen the anime. Cause,
not going back for rewatch then?
Oh, God. Mm. And I mean, like, my sister, who also watched the anime and went to see that movie that exact same day at a different time, she was like, I'm annoyed that you saw this because it's giving a bad image of what Fruits Basket the anime is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a very popular anime, but this does not give it a good light to me, obviously. Especially the fact that it was a weird setup, 40 minutes of, like, a clip show, and then a weird hour of grooming children.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah.
Yeah, all the hard work that you've put in getting into anime has been undone by this one movie. We're back to zero. Yeah. Well, I was going to start showing you some good stuff again.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's it. That's all I watched. Yeah. TV's still going, so yeah. Well,
what an experience. That's one for the books.
But the only other thing that I think we both watched this week was the movie we're talking about this episode. Of course, season 2 of Snubs and Dubs is covering the films from the year 2014. And for episode 22, we're talking about Whiplash. You hadn't seen this before, had you?
Somehow, nope. Never seen it before. Despite being into movies and drumming, I did not watch one of the best movies about drumming in the last while.
Yeah.
But you've seen this before.
Yes.
Oh, howdy.
I did even see it in theaters. Ooh. It was like a limited run that was at like the small White Ave theater, like the Princess one.
Oh, dang.
And yeah, and I saw it with my friend Chad. We were both like on Drumline at that point too. So we were both like drummy boys.
In the drum world,
and
yeah.
We were both like in concert band too, in jazz band. So this was like our niche and fucking... Okay, we'll get into it right now.
Yeah.
I think I watched it a couple years ago. I've seen it a few times, like I think 3 times before this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very happy to revisit. But yeah, it's been a couple of years since I saw it.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
Well, if you were interested in Whiplash, I've included the links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. There is a 4K copy of that I have that I watched it on. It's very nice looking. If you buy through that link, it'll help out the show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow the general links to help out our show in the process. Reminder that this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation, so if you haven't seen Whiplash and you want to, go ahead and do so. I've also included time codes in the show notes so you can skip around to your heart's desire. But without further ado, let's get into it. Whiplash is written and directed by Damien Chazelle, based on his short film of the same name, but that is an interesting circumstance. I have a fact here. The director and writer of this movie, Damien Chazelle, could not get funding for the movie because he had a feature-length script for Whiplash, so he instead turned it into a short film and ended up submitting it to Sundance in 2013. The short film ended up winning the Short Film Jury Award, and he got funding for the film soon after.
Smart.
So this is a weird sense where it's kind of an original story, but they took a scene from the movie to make a short film, but in the sense of the Academy, it is a adapted screenplay.
Oh.
Because the short film came out first.
It's the movie based on the short, based on the movie.
Yes. So it's very weird, but
it's bizarre.
Yeah. And did you know there was a short film?
I had no idea.
Yeah. I had seen the short film before and I actually rewatched it again. It is just that scene where Andrew goes to Fletcher's band for the first time.
Not my tempo.
Yeah. That scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically. So yeah. But anyway, speaking of Andrew, Miles Teller stars as Andrew Neiman. I always want to say Neiman because that's what Fletcher calls him.
I'm going to say Neiman a lot.
But it is Neiman. J.K. Simmons as Terrence Fletcher, Paul Reiser as Jim Neiman, and Melissa Benoist as Nicole. It has a runtime of 106 minutes, and it premiered at Sundance on January 16, 2014, before going wide on October 10th, 2014. Jason, what did you think of Whiplash?
It was really good, but it was also really scary. Like, that is a grueling movie because it's like so abusive, and the dudes are just playing drums till their hands bleed, and the dialogue, it is jarring.
Oh, God,
J.K. Simmons says so. He would be the prime candidate of getting canceled over and over and over again, and he kind of does, but, like, also in the way that he can still inflict damage on people, so, like, nothing really happens to him, which is, you know, that's what that is. But, man, this was a really captivating movie, and the drumming in it is unbelievable.
Yes.
When the guy asked Andrew to tune the kit to a note, I didn't know you could do that. I thought you just tuned it till it sounded fun. So I learned a lot about drumming.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Did it really make you want to, like, go and hit your drum kit after the movie?
No.
No?
You know, watching that, I'm like, I'm good with where I'm happy. There's a poster somewhere in the movie that says, like, if you can't drum, join a rock band. And I want that poster. That is my entire view on music. I suck, so I play with other people who are better. And then we sound okay in the end. But it was really something. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I really love this movie.
Yeah.
It is honestly one of the best movies, I think, that has been graced to us in the last 20 years.
Absolutely.
It is like a masterclass in just tension and anxiety and writing, and obviously performance from J.K. Simmons.
Oh,
that guy fucking kills that role.
God, he is such a little piece of shit. He's so good at being an absolute dumpster.
Yeah, it's just like really well made, especially for a feature debut, like directorial debut. And like, we'll get into some of the awards later, but like, it's a masterclass in editing too. The way that they edit music, like the musical scenes and like drum hits to the cutting to the saxophones to the trombones back to Fletcher's hand, like, it's just like exhilarating, but also so entertaining.
Okay, Miles Teller, that's actually him playing, right? Like, he is just that good.
I have a fact about it later. He has been a drummer since he was 15 years old.
That makes sense.
He did about 40% of the drumming, and
so
he actually learned most of the song, or not all, not most, he learned all the songs that they played in full, basically. So Whiplash and Caravan, and I think one other, but those were really the only three that he needed to know. And so he, I think, probably just perfected those ones. And then I guess they recorded him playing it, and then they also used a body double for sometimes.
That makes sense. It's like that final drum solo.
Holy
humans can't do that. Human beings with only two arms, not capable of that shit.
Yeah, no way. And like, I think sometimes the editing in its frantic sense does cover up some of that.
Oh yeah.
Because like that, the endurance that would take, my God.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. But do you want to get to the plot?
Yeah, let's hop into the plot here.
So Jason's going to read straight through the plot. If you don't need the refresher, you can skip right to the discussion by following the time codes in the show notes. But here's Whiplash.
Andrew Neiman is a first-year student and jazz drummer at the prestigious Schaeffer Conservatory in New York City. He is recruited by Terrence Fletcher, conductor and band leader of the Schaeffer Conservatory Studio Band, to play in his ensemble as an alternate for core drummer Carl Tanner. However, Andrew quickly discovers that Fletcher is relentlessly strict and abusive to his students. He physically and verbally attacks Andrew after he fails to keep tempo during the ensemble's rehearsal of Hank Levy's titular piece, Whiplash. Determined to impress Fletcher, Andrew practices with until his hands bleed. In a jazz competition after their first set, Andrew misplaces Tanner's sheet music. When called for their second set, Tanner cannot play without his sheets, but Andrew insists he can perform Whiplash from memory. After a successful performance, Fletcher promotes Andrew to the core drummer for the studio band, but he also enlists Ryan Connolly, the core drummer from a lower-level ensemble within the conservatory. After Fletcher promotes Connolly to core, Andrew continues practicing to his limit, to the point of breaking up with his girlfriend Nicole, who is out of his league entirely, to give himself more time to do so. After a grueling 5-hour practice session with Tanner and Connolly for the core, in which Fletcher repeatedly lashes out at them, Andrew eventually earns it back. On the way to their next competition, the bus Andrew is riding in breaks down. He rents a car but arrives late and realizes he left his sticks at the rental office. After convincing an impatient Fletcher to wait for him, Andrew races back and retrieves them, but his car is hit by a truck on the way back. Bloody and injured, Andrew crawls from the wreckage and runs back to the theater, arriving just as the ensemble enters stage. He struggles to play Caravan, but due to his injuries, Fletcher halts the performance to dismiss him. Enraged, he attacks Fletcher on stage, but is pulled away by security and expelled from Schaefer. At his father's request, Andrew meets a lawyer representing the parents of Sean Casey, a former student of Fletcher who hanged himself out of depression and anxiety caused by Fletcher's abuse, contrary to Fletcher's claim that he died of a car accident. Sean's parents want to see Fletcher forbidden from teaching. Andrew agrees to testify as an anonymous witness, which leads to his being fired. Following his expulsion, Andrew abandoned drumming and is working in a restaurant. He encounters Fletcher at a jazz club where he's been working as a pianist. He defends his harsh teaching methods and only wanted to make his students push themselves to become their absolute best, referencing the story of how Charlie Parker rose to fame. Fletcher invites Andrew to perform with his band at the JVC Jazz Festival, assuring him that they would be playing songs he had performed during his time at Schaefer. Andrew hesitantly accepts. He calls Nicole and invites her to the performance, but she does not express enthusiasm in going, as she's in a new relationship. Andrew arrives at JVC and the band goes on stage. Just before they begin their first piece, Fletcher reveals that he knows Andrew testified against him and, as revenge, leads the band with a song Andrew does not know and for which he's not been given the sheet music. Andrew walks off the stage humiliated, but then returns and cuts off Fletcher's introduction to their next piece by playing Caravan, cueing in the band himself. Initially angered, Fletcher resumes conducting. When Fletcher cues to the last beat of the piece, Andrew continues playing into an extended solo. He nods in approval of Andrew's performance before cueing to the band finale. And that is, add a lot of drumming in there, and that is Whiplash.
What a movie.
What a movie. It's just really good. Yeah. And it's really gripping too. Mm-hmm. It's also impressive that it's basically a two-person show. Like,
yeah,
Nicole exists, but she gets like three scenes.
Yeah.
And technically Miles has a father, but he gets like four scenes. Like, they're not important. It's really just J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller going toe-to-toe for the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. Like, I mean, that's really all you need, just these two battling each other. And I even read a fact that was, you know, too small to be interesting, but Miles Teller is in every scene, but they also shot background on Fletcher scenes where like Fletcher would go home and like you'd see, you know, his family life and there was like photos of his family or something. But like they cut all that because they didn't want to humanize Fletcher too much.
Yeah, he kind of needs to be a disgusting monster for this to work,
which I think worked really well. Like the way they used Fletcher was great. And Fletcher is obviously just like a rage machine at times. But like he also has that side of him where he just really wants them to be great, I guess.
Like he's really drank his own sauce in that.
Yeah.
Like when he's talking to that one small child outside one of their recitals and he seems like a sweet, upstanding guy. And then he walks in and says like, hey, cocksuckers, and then starts being mean to everyone again. Like he really believes that what he's doing is right by the students by pushing them to the point of like hanging themselves or getting expelled or just having nervous breakdowns.
Yeah. Well, and I think like even when Fletcher's upset about Sean Casey dying, I don't think he's really upset just in the fact that a former student died. He's probably upset the fact that a player that was that good is now not like with us anymore. He's probably more upset at the fact of that failure than like the fact that he's gone at all.
Like, yeah, he doesn't care about the person at all. Yeah. He's just upset like, ah, now there's less good music in the world. That sucks.
Yeah, and you even mentioned the little girl. He tries to recruit her for his band when in that conversation. So everything, I think, leads back to his obsessive need to have greatness come out from under his regime.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
And it does seem like he truly believes that what he's doing will lead the students to being better musicians.
Yeah.
It's not like he's being abusive just for shits. Like, he actually wants to do it to improve these students.
Yeah. And I think the movie's interesting in that way, too, because at the end, it might seem like he was in the right, but also it's kind of like a bittersweet ending because like he essentially won, like the villain won.
Yeah.
But I don't think, and I've watched a lot of like, there's like 100 video essays on this fucking movie and like interviews afterwards. But like, I don't think Damien Chazelle really intended to say like this type of teaching is good, like this is okay. I think they're saying that like this did work for Andrew because he had that drive, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like he is probably going to suffer the same fate as all of the artists that have been demonstrated in the movie previously, like Sean Casey, like Buddy Rich, I think they keep mentioning.
Yeah, Charlie Parker.
Yeah, Charlie Parker. Some people that died in their 30s for drug overdoses and just like horrible issues. So I think it's saying that, yes, this can work to become a great musician, but at the end of the day, it's not worth it.
Yeah, because they even go over some of the other drummers who were in the movie, like Sean Connolly. I think that's his name. He's not Connolly. Drumming anymore. Yeah. That Tanner guy went into pre-med. Yeah. Like, clearly this creates more burnout in victims than it does successors, mm-hmm. since I guess only two real notable people came out of the program and one hanged himself. And the other one is Andrew Neiman, who's probably going to burn himself out pretty quick.
Well, he's just going to be alone, really. Because like, I think what Fletcher saw in Andrew was just like his drive.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't necessarily focused on skill. Obviously, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But the first time he sees Andrew, he's up late practicing alone.
Yeah.
So clearly the guy has, you know, some sort of need to be better and be good.
Mm-hmm.
And when he invites him back into the studio, he deliberately asks for the thing that he asked for that night again, the double time swing, to see if he worked on it,
mm-hmm.
because he wants to test Andrew's drive. I think that's the main thing, is his drive, like how much he's willing to put into it to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he brings in people like Connolly too, because he knows that just having the threat of replacement is going to put that fire under his ass to try just that much harder.
Oh yeah, like that is such a piss off move to get the old drummer that he used to be an alternate for and bring him in to replace him on this song.
Yeah, Fletcher really knows how to manipulate people's drive.
Oh yeah, this man gaslight gatekeeps girl bosses his way to success.
Yeah. Do you think he took the folder?
He had to.
I think so too.
I also think he took, because where else would it have been?
Yeah.
He was like looking away for 2 seconds. Clearly it didn't fall somewhere.
Yeah.
There wasn't a janitor walking past.
Yeah,
like this was clearly a test to like maybe pit the drummers against each other, and also to give Andrew a chance, because he knows that Tanner doesn't memorize the charts. Like, he even mentions when talking to Fletcher, like, you know, I can't do it from memory.
Yeah.
So I think that was to push Neiman to drum the next song.
Yes.
And also make them hate each other even more, because that's what he does.
Yeah. But it also sets a precedent. And I think that's why later on, Andrew is so determined to get on that stage to play Caravan,
mm-hmm.
because the last time that the person that was supposed to play didn't play, the person that did play became the new core.
Yeah.
And so, and it was him at that time. And so he is like desperate to get to that stage, even after a car accident.
Yeah.
He is going to get in that chair bloodied and broken, mm-hmm. and try to play this. Otherwise he's going to get replaced. And I mean, at that point it was all or nothing. And I think that's what really ultimately drove Andrew to tackle Fletcher.
Oh yeah.
But wow. Yeah.
I mean, Fletcher had that one coming. That was definitely a little bit of his own medicine there. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Okay. In my opinion, the person who was worst done by the entire movie was that one guy playing, I think, trombone when Fletcher is like, one of you's out of tune. And then he roasts this guy and he wasn't even the one that was out of tune. Holy shit, that guy got treated so poorly. And the guy who was out of tune got promoted to his spot. It's brutal. Yeah.
Well, and that's funny you mentioned that, because he does the same sort of shit with Andrew.
Yeah.
When he's like, read me this tempo. And Andrew just goes off the whim and he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he grills him for it. Andrew was on time.
Yeah.
He is exactly on time. And like, I saw this in a video essay first, and then I went to check myself. And yeah, if you have like a metronome open and his like words, it's in time. Exactly. Yeah. And so he's just grilling him to just give this confidence failure.
Yeah. Just to break him down.
Oh, which is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even like off time when he's doing the Whiplash sight read.
No.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's really just tactics to tear him down so that he will come out of it better. And in the case of that trombone player, I think he was just like, this guy's been shit for too long and I want to get rid of him.
Yeah, he just wants to move him out of there.
And it could have also been a way to set an example for Andrew to say like, this is the way that this band works and I'm just ready to get rid of this guy to show you what this is going to be like.
Yeah, like this is how easily replaceable all of you are.
Yeah.
And that scene has a really good tension build moment where like it kind of sets you up to expect that it was Andrew who was out of, like, he had tuned the drums wrong.
Yeah.
Because he had hastily tuned them like a minute or two before that went on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of like frozen expecting Andrew to be shit on. And then it's actually some trombone player who is unrelated to that, which kind of diffuses it.
Yeah.
And his poor girlfriend. What did she do?
Oh my God. He's poor Nicole.
Out of his league.
Definitely.
She stooped down to date this guy just because she was homesick, didn't have a lot of friends, wanted someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And Andrew breaks up with her so he can drum more.
Yeah.
You unbelievable fool. You dolt.
What do you think of that breakup? Because I've seen that breakup used as like a sound on TikTok. And then it's like people have like some sort of mixed reaction. Some people are like, this is very sad. But then some people are like, I would rather him just tell me this than drag me along to do mm-hmm. with that. So I don't know, like he's clearly an asshole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe that was the best thing to do.
I don't know, because I feel like he doesn't have the worst idea in mind that he might not be able to treat her well enough.
Yes.
But like maybe communicate with your partner and be like, hey, I'm really dedicated to this thing more than anything else. So this mm-hmm. is how it's going to be. If that works for you, then we can work on making this work.
Yeah.
If not, then I understand you wanted to leave. But like,
yeah, he didn't even give her the chance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He just brick walled her, ended it all, didn't really give her a chance to work with this on it. Maybe she would have been fine supporting him. And maybe it yep. would have been good to have some support in his life.
Yeah. But something other than drumming and yeah. watching movies with your dad. Like
that is so sad. Oh my God.
I go to movies with my mom.
That is so Duncan. But you have other things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I watch movies by myself too.
There you go. You watch animes with your girlfriend.
Yes.
There some we of go. Them bad.
Yeah. Andrew's not like the nicest guy either. Like in,
no,
he sucks. In general. Like I love when he tells Tanner to turn my pages, bitch. Like
some of those felt good.
Yeah.
But like he becomes an absolute monster yes. the second that he makes the conservatory band.
Yeah.
Like he is an absolute piece of garbage, even though he's at the start he seems kind of like humble, quiet,
yeah.
like, oh, I have trouble making eye contact, and like within 25 minutes he becomes like the I'm your king, bitch, bow down to me.
Yep. It entirely has to do with Fletcher.
Yeah,
because Fletcher, while tearing him down, also gives him the confidence,
so much confidence.
He does tell him that he has like the talent.
Yeah.
And like right away, like he does this sort of soft like intro, like, you know, don't worry about it, it'll be fine, like yeah. you're here for a reason.
You know,
but then he
lying.
Tears him down. Well, I mean, I think that's just all Andrew needed to hear.
Yeah.
That he's there for a reason. And like, you'll be great if you do well here. There's moments in this that I'm curious what your initial reactions were. Mm-hmm. The first one was the car accident.
Yeah.
Did that like shock you?
It was like a little bit jarring. But here's the thing. Anytime in any movie or TV show that someone's driving, I'm always expecting for them to get hit.
Yeah.
So this just confirmed that suspicion that has been going zero for like the last 2000 times I've watched people drive, but I always in the back of my mind, I kind of assume, mm-hmm. especially with him being late and like the name of the movie's Whiplash. So when yep. he got in a car accident, I'm like, hey, Whiplash.
Yeah.
That one, like it was jarring in the initial like sound and the actual hit, but yep. like it made sense plot wise because he was probably ripping around at like 100 miles an hour through any yes. kind of red that was in his way. So that was coming to him.
Yeah. And the second one I wanted to know your initial reaction was, when they got on stage and Fletcher was like, you think I'm fucking stupid? Were you expecting Fletcher to fuck with him then?
No, I didn't expect him to fuck with him. Like, maybe I'm just too gullible.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too trusting that maybe Fletcher had turned a page. When he got fired, he realized that his methods were too much.
Yeah.
I assumed this was going to be like a nice, like, he plays the show and decides, you know what? I'm going to be a normal human who doesn't suck. And I'm only going to drum occasionally while working a job.
Yeah.
I did not expect him to be like, I know it was you. That yeah. was insane.
Yeah.
And when he's like called the song, it's like, oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So yeah. that one really caught me by surprise. I was not ready for any of that. And I had yeah. like an oh, shit look yeah. on my face while watching that.
Ugh, I love that. I would kill to go revisit that first
like, yeah.
viewing of that, because I remember just being like, Holy fuck. Like, oh, no.
This guy's dickishness knows no end.
Yeah. And then like you watch him struggle through yeah. the song and you're like, oh God, Andrew, do something, please try.
Yeah. What I also love is that like he goes for it.
Yeah,
he's playing fills. If I were in his scenario, I'd be like, what's the tempo? What's the time signature? Simplest possible beat behind that. And yep. hope I can like catch the pauses by looking at what people are doing.
Yes.
But he like actually sends it at 110% and tries to put on a good show.
Yep. and then like the sad applause after.
it was so awkward.
What the fuck just happened? Yeah.
Oh, I love Fletcher's comment. Like, well, that was avant-garde. You piece of shit. You absolute jerkhole.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
But it just made the caravan ending so much more worthwhile. Yes. Seeing him cut Fletcher off and have his moment. Oh. I really love that ending. I could watch that 1,000 times.
Totally.
Also, because that's an absolute drum clinic. Like, that shit's insane.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like one person is able to make that many noises. It's insane. I don't get how that happens.
Yeah. And then they start to like mesh together where Fletcher's like, okay, we're in this. We're doing this. I'm here. I'm vibing with you. Mm-hmm. And then like that smile at the end is satisfying, but also worrying.
It is, because it's like, good for Andrew, but also like Fletcher won that one very hard. Like that was checkmate there.
Yeah.
Because he put Andrew in a scenario where either Andrew loses his whole drumming career in revenge for him ratting out his abuse.
Yeah.
Or he plays so well that he also makes Fletcher's career. Like that, Fletcher can't lose. Yeah. He's just winning no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. When he called Nicole to invite her to the show. Did you think she was doing another weird joke that she did when he first asked her out? And she's like, oh, no, get away.
I didn't think so. No, I think it was just like because of how awkward it was to start. I mean, that guy was a total asshole to her.
He sucked.
And then he calls her back when he's done drumming.
Yeah.
By the way,
I'm not the greatest ever, so I can start dating you again.
Yeah.
Now that I'm a failure.
Yeah.
What are you up to? I kind of thought she was doing another like weird joke thing, but I probably wanted a happier ending for Andrew than was ever actually given.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well. He can drum now. Good for him.
You should try the songs. you should go to your drum kit and try Caravan.
Okay. I feel like with enough practice, I could do Whiplash.
Yeah.
There's no goddamn way I'm playing Caravan. Because like when I'm watching this, I'm trying to drum along just in the air and I'm not. Close, not in the ballpark of Caravan.
I think this is the best like drumming movie,
probably. Ever.
There's a movie called Drumline. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either because it got referenced too much in Drumline. I don't want to.
It's so nice to see a drumming movie.
Yeah,
and Fletcher even makes the casual joke of like drummers aren't musicians.
Yeah,
because he's like, okay, well the musicians are gonna play now,
which is a timeless. Always shit on the rhythm section when you get the opportunity to. It's never wrong.
Well, what do you think the critics and audiences thought of this movie? We clearly loved it. So what do you think they thought?
It was a masterclass. I feel like they had to love it too. I mean, critics 94, audiences 89.
Oh, you crushed critics. Ooh. 94, audiences also 94.
Oh, dang. Yeah. I underestimated audiences.
IMDb 8.5, very high. Mm-hmm. Metacritic 88.
Ooh, everyone's in it.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching that Whiplash.
Except the general public. Budget of $3.3 million.
That's a pretty small
budget.
Very
modest.
Yep.
Only made $39.1 million.
Mm. I mean, that's not a bad return. And I think like it was a limited release run too.
I think it has found its audience later.
Yeah.
Like on streaming. Because like the fact that a 4K version of this movie came out last year, mm-hmm. that to me says like people are still watching it and it's a very popular movie still.
Yeah,
because like they only really make those for movies that they know are going to sell on the format.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I bought it, obviously,
but
like so I think a lot of people are watching it but later. I think it was just after the theater, so
yeah, it probably had a pretty slow release and initial reception.
Yeah, fun fact though, this film is one of the lowest grossing movies ever to be nominated for Best Picture.
Dang. Yeah. It's not like 39 million is bad.
Yeah, no, it's still like pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, what about our scores then?
Well, Kyle, I have a feeling these are going to be pretty lofty, but what are you starting off with for enjoyment?
Five. It's a hard five. The fact that I've seen this movie four times now, even knowing all the twists and turns of it, like it still gives me the heebie-jeebies all the time. It's good vibes and good feels. I mean, not good vibes. It's very anxious
vibes. Very bad vibes.
But it's a very enjoyable movie. Yes, five.
I'm also going five. It had me gripped jaw on the floor at moments. It's a very good movie.
Yes.
What's your craft?
Also a five. I think that the sets are great. The way that it was edited, phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Well shot, like beautifully shot. I mean, costumes are what they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be crazy costumes. Yeah. It's just some dudes playing music.
But yeah, I thought that it was just perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly what it needed to be.
I'm also giving this a 5 because I'm also including the craft of drumming in there, which was god tier. Yeah, there's just nothing out of place in this movie. It all comes together so well.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Execution.
5. Well written, phenomenally acted. I feel like Miles Teller does get overshadowed by J.K. Simmons a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when J.K. Simmons is giving this much of a powerhouse performance, it's really easy to get overshadowed.
Yeah.
And Miles Teller was not even bad in the movie. He was actually really good.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm giving this a 5 as well. Because J.K. Simmons overpowers, but it also works because he's supposed to be an overbearing kind of figure.
Yes.
And Miles Teller, I like him less as a human because of this movie, which means he did a good job.
Wow.
Also, he's a dick. Kyle, what's your rewatchability?
Well, wouldn't you know it?
Oh my God. Is this?
It's a 5.
Wow.
2 in this season.
Pew, pew, pew.
Perfect 20.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's incredible. I'm going to go 4.5.
Oh, you cucked me there.
Because here's the thing. I can't just watch this at any moment.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
I want to watch it again. Yes. I will watch it again, but I know I can't at any moment drop and watch this movie. So that's going to take a 0.5 off.
Totally fair.
Really took that win from your sails.
Oh, yes.
Well, Kyle, you've given this a 20 out of 20 for 100%. I have given this a 19.5 out of 20 for a 98%. We clearly loved it. But how much did we love it in comparison to other movies of this season? Kyle, would you like your ranking?
No.
Because?
Straight to the top,
nice.
Baby. Number one.
Ooh.
It is my new number one with, what's the next 4? Grand Budapest.
The next one was your other 20 out of 20 with Grand Budapest.
Yes.
Then it's Paddington, Captain America, and Guardians of the Galaxy rounds out your top 5.
Wow.
I am going to go one lower. Grand Budapest was a 20 out of 20 perfect film. This was only a 19.5 imperfect creation. So it is going to be my new number 2. Cool. Below Grand Budapest, above Paddington, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and Interstellar are my top 5.
I was waiting for this one all season because I knew that this was one of my favorite films, hard stop. This was the last nominee. Obviously, it starts with W. We've been doing this alphabetically.
Mm-hmm.
I was just waiting and waiting and suffering through The Imitation Games, The Theories of Everything, just to get here, finally.
I was looking forward to watching this one because I have stayed virgin to Whiplash.
Ugh.
Finally, it's over, and it feels so good.
I'm so glad that you were able to watch this one as part of the podcast for your first time, too, because I feel that first experience is just exhilarating.
It is.
It's something special.
It's just sitting there going, how do they do that? It's beautiful.
Yep. Well, do you want to hear some fun Letterboxd reviews?
I would like that.
All right. So this has a 4.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Very high.
That is very high.
And I got a little bit of a mix of both high and low. 5 stars on a rewatch by number one Gizmo fan.
Nice.
If I stub my toe, I have to cancel all my plans. But Naaman gets in a car accident and still tryhards his ass off. Stop attacking me like this. So this is another 5-star watch by featuring Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
Oh, another regular.
Gotta add jazz to my list of irrational fears.
That one's rational. Jazz should be feared at all times.
Okay, now we get into the lower ones. This is a 0.5-star by Rev. My grandpa would have loved this movie. He loved jazz and hated women. That was just so out of pocket. I was reading that. I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, J.K. Simmons, not a feminist per se.
I was also going to say Andrew, not really doing much well for women.
Women empowerment levels are low.
Yeah. This is another 0.5-star by Hunter Luke. They didn't kiss once.
Oh, the real will they won't they, J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller.
And the last one I have here is another 0.5-star by XE Jane. I'm not watching some fucking film about some fucking men playing physical fucking instruments.
Physical instruments. It's they're just boxing.
So what do you want?
It's also not the movie's fault that drums exist.
Yeah.
You seem to have an issue with drums themselves. And if you're a neighbor to someone who drums, I get it.
Yeah.
But take that out on the drum kit, not the movie. It's very good.
But that's all I have for Letterboxd. The Academy, though, unlike the last few movies we've talked about, this mm-hmm. one actually does have some Academy Award nominees. Mm. Obviously, it was nominated for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. It was also nominated for 4 other awards. Best Supporting Actor for J.K. Simmons. Best Adapted Screenplay. Again, we mentioned how strange that was. Best Film Editing and Best Sound Mixing. It won 3 of those.
Oh.
Can you guess which ones?
Well, I know J.K. Simmons won.
Yes.
I'm going to guess it's not Best Adapted.
It's not.
Then the other ones.
Yes, Film Editing and Sound Mixing, it did win. Yes. Obviously, it didn't win Best Picture. According to IMDb, J.K. Simmons won 52 out of the 59 Best Supporting Actor awards he was nominated for across critics groups and such.
God damn.
Including the BAFTA, the Screen Actors Guild, and the Golden Globe.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Does that surprise you at all?
No, that sounds all deserved.
Yeah. Do you want to hear some interesting facts?
I'd love to.
All right. This film was shot in 19 days, edited, and submitted to Sundance in 10 weeks.
Damn.
So they really turned this around.
They did so good, too. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I understand why it could be a quick shoot, because they don't have that many locations.
No.
But, yeah, the editing was so frantic, and that would have taken a lot of work. So
all those cuts? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Although Miles Teller has been drumming since he was 15 years old, he took additional lessons 4 hours a day, 3 days a week to prepare for the movie. And even though a visual double was used, all of Andrew's drumming was performed by Miles Teller himself to pre-recorded tracks. About 40% of Miles Teller's drumming was used in the soundtrack.
Interesting.
In the scene where J.K. Simmons yells, "I will fuck you like a pig," you may notice that the camera cuts away from him when he delivers that line. That line was actually taken from the short film. The original line was, "I am going to gut you like a fucking pig." Damien Chazelle thought the new line was hilarious and included it in the production script. Simmons thought it was ridiculous and refused to say the line, but Chazelle included the mistake in post-production anyways. So he used what was recorded in the short film, the mistake, and put it in the feature film.
That's funny.
Yeah. I love how J.K. Simmons just refused to say it again.
And he's got enough pull that he's not going to.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons suffered 2 cracked ribs when Miles Teller tackled him during the last 2 days of shooting. Simmons managed to continue working despite his injury.
Damn.
What a champ.
That's a pretty big tackle then.
Yeah.
Did they not have mats below that? He didn't have to go all Mission Impossible, do your own stunts on this. But dang.
No. What a champ.
Yeah, took it like a champ.
And it was worth it because he won an Academy Award. So there you go. Okay, this was a weird one. I was laughing at this one. The studio originally gave Damien Chazelle a note saying, quote, "He's good at drumming. We get it." In an attempt to try and take out the ending drum solo, Chazelle disagreed, obviously, and kept the drum solo in the film. Who was at this studio? What the fuck?
That's the worst decision they could have made. That drum solo is but that's the whole point of the movies, to get us there. Yeah. We needed that giant drum solo at the end. Are you kidding me?
That note sounds like a half-star Letterboxd review. He's good at drumming, we get it.
For someone who watched 20 minutes of the film and turned it off.
So this is the last one. Chazelle said he wrote this film, quote, "initially in frustration while trying to get La La Land off the ground."
Oh, yeah. Another monumental flop. Yes. Everyone hated La La Land. Whiplash even more so.
Yeah.
But damn, that's a really good early career run for movies.
This dude has 3 bangers. Whiplash, La La Land, and First Man. Have you seen all 3 of those? No?
I've only seen Whiplash.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I haven't even seen La La Land.
Dudes, you gotta do some fucking homework.
I know.
This guy's got another movie coming out this year too.
Yeah.
And 2 out of the 3, so Whiplash and La La Land, were nominated for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. First Man wasn't, but it was also very good. This movie that's coming out called Babylon stars Margot Robbie, Brad Pitt, and it's about old Hollywood.
Hot.
Dude, this is on the watch list for probably gonna win this year.
Interesting.
La La Land almost won. It was announced that it won.
For a couple seconds,
yeah,
it did.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people thought it might win, and I, in my humble opinion, thought it deserved to win. But Moonlight is also a very good movie. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. But yeah, so keep an eye out for Damien Chazelle at the end of this year.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, we'll go catch that.
Definitely. But yeah, that's all I have for interesting facts. Yeah.
Well, those facts, they were interesting.
Any final thoughts?
it blows you away. This movie's going to blow you out of the water. So I hope you're ready for that.
If our perfect 20, if my perfect 20 and your imperfect almost perfect
19.5
was any indication, you need to watch this movie if you haven't already. It is a hot banger. It is so good.
It is incredible.
It makes you want to start drumming on anything, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be tip-tapping along the whole time, assuming that you're on tempo. But
I was trying to find like my drumsticks for a minute. I was like, and then I thought, I kind of became self-aware for a second. I was like, what am I even going to do with these? I don't have a drum kit. And so I stopped.
Fair call. Go real hard on the table tapping. Yeah. Drop a paradiddle.
Yeah. Oh, but I wish I still had a drum mat, because I used to have drum mats from Drumline.
Yeah, I remember
those.
I had
to give those back to the school, though.
Oh.
Sad.
That's sad.
Anyways, I want to thank you all for listening to season 2, episode 22 of Snubs and Dubs. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pods, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Whiplash or on this episode. So please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobias on Twitter, and Jason is at Wendy_Mills. Of course, all of those links will be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back next week for another episode. Here's a sneak peek of the film we're going to talk about.
This is Burke. Life here is amazing. Dragons used to be a bit of a problem, but now they've all moved in.
Did I tell you that you look amazing today? Because you do.
And with Vikings on the backs of dragons, the world just got a whole lot bigger.
What could have done this?
That's right. Next time we're talking about How to Train Your Dragon 2. So make sure to watch it before next episode. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye for now.